This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey there, you are listening to Failing Forward on Open Forward Business, our brand spanking new entrepreneurship series that features real-life stories from entrepreneurs who have failed and are stronger for it. I'm Audrey Raj, and in the studio with me again is Renuka Sena, Chief Explorer at Proficio. Say hello, Renu.
Hi, Audrey.
And we also have with us Sandeep Grewal, Founder and CEO of Subhome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So like I mentioned earlier, Failing Forward is a series that focuses on failures and lessons from these failures that make us leaner, meaner, and more efficient. And our main lesson for this episode, episode 2, is going to be about navigating double-sided platforms or two-sided marketplaces, as some call it. But before we go any further, Sandeep, tell us a bit about Subhome.
Firstly, thank you for having us here today. Subhome is basically a company that goes out there to condominiums or apartments. We take that apartment, we take multiple units in that apartment, and we turn it into a virtual hotel. How we do this is we go into the building, we put in a housekeeping team, we put in a property management team inside there, which has maintenance teams, front desk, and we run it like a hotel itself. So it's a whole guest experience. The reason why we are doing this is it goes back about 3.5 years ago when me and my friends, we were all property investors. We bought a lot of properties together. That was the good times when everyone was buying properties, the property prices were going up, and we may have just bought a bit too many properties at that point. So we bought those properties, and then the market was not too good when it was completed. Rentals was tough. We were actually having real tough issues renting out our units, especially even city center locations. That's where we actually started. Real city center locations. I'm 900 meters away from KLCC, and I can't get a decent rental of 2,000 ringgit for a 500 square feet unit.
Mm.
So it was so competitive. But what happened was just one day we decided, okay, it's really tough. We got to think of something else. Think out of the box. My partner told me, go out there, let's try this Airbnb thing. You know, someone's doing it down the road. Okay, we gave it a shot. Within 2 weeks, 11 of our units was booked out.
Wow.
It was fantastic. That we saw light of the end of the tunnel there. But, you know, that wasn't the end of the tunnel because that was just the starting of the whole journey that happened then. That's where we actually started this whole business and we started running it. We started filling up the spaces. There were a lot of bookings. But then we realized that the people who stayed in Airbnb in the short stay, they needed a lot more things in the units.
Hmm.
So what we had furnished out and set up for normal long-term rentals did not suit the short-term stays. Like if you go to stay in a hotel, it's not the same as what you stay at your house.
Yeah.
It's totally different. It's got a lot more items inside the space. So we had to build all that, put all those things in and cater to the needs of the clientele. I guess that was a big problem that was there. And in fact, we listened more and more to the needs of the clientele. And we were realizing that running it as an Airbnb host and giving out keys, you know, and meeting them and having conversations with them, it wasn't really a business that is sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, because I've got experience running businesses before. So everything I do is as much as possible, I want to systemize it, run it as a business, and so it runs properly. And guest experience is important. So that's where, like I mentioned just now, we put in front desk teams in the building, we put housekeeping teams. It's to create the guest experience like you would get in hotels. So that's what we wanted to do. Housekeeping teams, front desk teams is there.
Okay, so obviously, since we're talking about double-sided platform,
yeah.
You've got one side of the platform where you deal with the customers, that's
sure.
your front end,
yeah.
and then you've got the back end with the housekeeping team and everything that runs behind the scenes.
Yeah. My two sides is actually the other part. One side is the guest, the person who's going for a holiday, and the other side is the landlords, the property
right.
owners.
Right, yes, of
yeah.
course.
So we're actually the facilitator in between everything. So our housekeeping teams, our front desk teams, our revenue teams, finance teams, everyone is driven so that we get as many guests into the properties of these landlords because we started with solving the problems of the landlords. As myself, I was a landlord and me and my friends, we still are landlords, and we have these properties that we're unable to get rental or unable to get consistent rentals. So that's where we took this element of the market to fill into our space versus going out there and competing for normal rentals because the market is oversaturated. There's too many properties in there right now.
Okay, Renu, this problem of serving two customers, you know, two ends, it's not unique to only Subhome, right?
No, in fact, I would say that more and more nowadays, you would see, especially with online platforms, there are both sides. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to actually choose this topic, because it's actually quite prevalent. For example, JobStreet. So JobStreet, on the one hand, they serve the employers. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they need to ensure there's enough resumes for the employers to select from. So who do they start with? Most of the time, you would have thought that they start with who's going to pay them, namely the employers. But the employers wouldn't pay them if they didn't have sufficient resumes in
right.
there. So for a lot of businesses that are looking at starting these types of platforms where there's two sides to cater from, whilst you need to cater to the side that's paying you, so to speak, you also need to understand what they want. If what they need is a variety and sufficient quantity, then that's what you've got to start doing. In Sandeep's case, for example, he already had the properties. And what he was looking for was the other side. So whilst he found a solution for the landlords, which was to get them some kind of ROI for their property, the catering to the customers at the end of the day was what caused a lot more effort and processes and things like that. So you'll find this quite prevalent. JobStreet is one, Airbnb itself is another one. And then you have even Grab, say, for example. For Grab, what they're looking for is to make money from people who want to use their services. But in order to do so, they need to have sufficient, first it was the taxi drivers, then now it's the riders, because you know you have all of these guys doing the Grab food, etc. So a lot of times when you have two sides that you need to actually cater for, it's a matter of who do you need to start first with in order to have that sufficient number so that whoever is paying you is willing to pay you?
So is the idea trying to find a balance between both sides, or are you do you have to prioritize in some cases?
I would say that both sides will have to have equal priority because they feed off each other. I mean, it's pointless having all of these resumes and after a while you find that the guys are not getting jobs or their resumes are not being even viewed. They slowly drop off and then they start going to other sites where it's going to give them better. So even though the guys submitting their resumes in JobStreet may not actually have to pay to submit, but if they're not getting some kind of value from it, they'll go elsewhere. So you have to actually cater for both.
Okay, Sandeep, on with Subhome, you know, what were the challenges in trying to prioritize both ends?
Well, it was constant challenges because, like you said, it's actually balancing. It's a balancing act. So at first, when we first started was, yes, we had a few inventory, but it's when I say inventory, it's the properties. So we had to get enough properties and enough owners convinced that this was something that will work. And once we started it off, then we had to convince the guest, come stay with us, you know. We're not just some weird accommodation and we're good. We're good accommodation, providing good value at good rates. So we, of course, had to start with promotion rates. And then when they come in, it's a lot of guest service. Because when you're dealing in hospitality, it's very heavy, intensive work. Because it's very service-orientated. It's not a transactional thing. It's a very service-orientated thing. So there was a lot of issues with guest orientation. So firstly is getting the guests on space. Like for instance, when we listed on Airbnb, I must say, guests on Airbnb are very forgiving. Very, very forgiving. So it's a good place to start with because guests that go there, they're expecting to be staying in somebody else's house. So they're more appreciative of that. But once we started listing on the other platforms, we found a totally different experience. Because everyone that goes out there, and let's say if you book on booking.com, you expect everything to be on booking.com at a certain level. You want it that hotel standard level, not some guy who's going to make a mistake and, you know, apologize, keep apologizing through it. Of course, when we started, we made a lot of mistakes, silly, silly mistakes. So I can even explain, like when I said earlier that our rooms were not fit out properly, there was once when we first started, within a week, our beds were breaking.
Ooh.
Our beds were breaking left, right and center because the beds we were buying were for own accommodations.
Right.
So when you buy it for your own house and you buy this furniture, you take care of your things. But when it's a short stay guest, one thing we realized, they really use everything very
You're using the word use, but I think you're meaning abuse.
No, they're using it to its max. Right. Yeah, you're really using it to a max. Because when you're not really taking care of these things, then you're out on a holiday. You want to enjoy. You want to do everything and anything you can. Okay. So what they were doing on our beds, well, you all know. Okay, so they got extreme used and we had to replace beds. And I remember there was one instance when we first started this. I literally started this alone because I wanted to test it out. It was 10 units. I started it and it was a public holiday. And one of the guests said, my bed broken.
What do you do in that instance?
Yeah,
you have to replace the bed ASAP.
And it's a public holiday. I can't get someone to fix the bed. I can't get maintenance guys. No shops are open. So I had to be really, really creative. Okay, that's another thing as a business person. If you want to do business, you got to be super creative on a moment's notice. So you went to Giant. We bought rims and rims of white paper. We took the papers. We went in. We lifted the mattress, took out the wooden frame, reconstructed the whole bed with rims of paper because rims of paper are solid. They would last. Yeah. So I had a lot of rims of paper under the bed, put the bed back, made the whole thing. No one knew what was under the bed. It was a bed constructed out of, or at least the foundation was rims of paper.
Because who checks, right? under the mattress?
And the guests were so happy. Literally, they came back and then they said, oh, thank you very much for fixing it on short notice and all that. So they were really happy about it. They just didn't check what was underneath they were sleeping on. But it was a solid bed after that. Of course, the next few days we changed it to a normal bed. But yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break for some messages right now. We'll leave you thinking about what's under your bed the next time you visit Airbnb. But when we come back, we discuss operational efficiencies and Tune Group's partial acquisition of Subhome. Failing Forward on Open for Business, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca. BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Failing Forward on Open for Business. Sandeep Grewal, founder and CEO of Subhome, is with us today. Also, the lovely Renuka Sena, chief explorer at Proficio. Guys, just before the break, we were discussing broken beds. But to come back to our main lesson and takeaway from this episode, navigating double-sided platforms. Renu, is this purely a model for digital businesses? Because you mentioned Grab earlier, you mentioned JobStreet, and also Sandeep's Subhome is a digital platform. Because if you think about it, traditional businesses have to manage both their suppliers and customers as well, right? So they're also a two-sided marketplace, if you think about it.
Actually, that's very true. Because a lot of the times, traditional business or brick-and-mortar businesses think that they're linear, which means, you know, they get their stock, they sell to the customers, and they just need to look after the customers. Mm. But if you talk to many of them, those that understand business, essentially their suppliers or their vendors are just as important. Because suppliers and vendors, when you look after them, they give you preferential rates. Mm. What do preferential rates give you? I mean, better margins.
Yeah.
They give you better payment terms. And that, to any business, is actually very, very important to be able to manage your cash flow. So a lot of times I find that this is one aspect of the business that some brick and mortar companies may not actually be looking at in terms of how they look after their suppliers and their vendors. Mm. They look at them, I mean, if you look at them purely as suppliers, then you're going to try and negotiate the best rates all the time. But if you start building a relationship with them, that relationship also can be translated into a service, so to speak. So when you start building a relationship, if you pay them on time to start off with, if you have a great ordering process, if you are very clear about the sort of things that you need with them, and then you build that relationship, over time, you'll find that, you know, the preferential rates can be negotiated, the payment terms can be negotiated. There's all sorts of other benefits because people then know that you are good for what you say. So in a sense, yes, I think all businesses need to look at various stakeholders that they manage and look at them from the perspective that service is not just to the ultimate customer, but it's also to whoever it is you are catering to. I mean, even with Sandeep's case, you know, I'm sure he had equally the same amount of challenges, not just with the landlords and the customers, but when he started this model, growing it into the next phase of acquiring new customers, the landlords and these new properties became customers again.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So just so that we're on the same page, Sandeep, I understand that Subhome was not a digital platform when it first started. It was purely like traditional.
Brick and mortar.
Yeah, brick and mortar. Yes. Were you working with Subhome on the Coach and Grow program while it was still brick and mortar and transitioning into digital?
Very much so, yeah. So Sandeep came in at season 4 for the Coach and Grow program. And that was the first season that we were actually taking in brick and mortar companies. Mm. But with the added KPI of them adopting technology. So a lot of what the coaches worked on when they came in with Sandeep is more in terms of how do you use technology, one, for marketing, you know, so not just the Airbnb, but how do you improve that process of digital marketing so that you're driving traffic, not just to their sites or from their sites, but to your own site. He didn't even have a website.
Mm. Yes, I did not have a website for the first 2 years of our business.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know, and in addition to that, once you start driving traffic, then it's about data. How do you collect data about who's looking? Why are they dropping off? Who's booking? How often do they book? So you come back to the lifetime value that we were talking about the last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at all those aspects of the business, was key for him to start thinking about operational efficiencies, but using technology.
Renu just mentioned a key term there, data.
Yeah.
And, you know, our main takeaway from episode 1 of Failing Forward was the one metric that mattered. So I'm going to ask you, Sandeep, you know, looking at Subhome and in your journey on the Coach and Grow program, what was the one metric that mattered to Subhome?
Well, to find that one metric that mattered, I mean, throughout the whole program, they kept going on about the one metric that mattered. It's very hard because everything matters. But if you put a lot of thought about it, it came down to us to revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, when anyone hears the sound, oh, revenue, yeah, of course it's revenue. But it's how you relate everything back to that. Like, for instance, I just take you back to customer service is a very important part. But how do you relate that to revenue as a metric? Very simple. If the customers are repeat customers, that means they like you. If the customers are willing to pay at a higher price, because we are monitoring and we're matching every single thing. So we've got revenue teams that watch our rates that we are selling. So we've got average daily rates. So if our average daily rates are able to go up, it's because we are providing a better service, a better environment, an alternate service, because it's a very competitive market in this space right now. Mm. So customer service, if the customer is willing to pay at a higher price for the service that you're delivering, and if they are repeating again and again with you, that's the metric that matters, because it comes back down to revenue, back down to the owners, because whenever our model is such that whatever revenue comes in, we take deductions and then the balance goes out to owners. So revenue is very important to that other segment, which is owners. Even in this tough environment, owners are getting a percentage of our revenue. So we have to think about revenue at all times, because by thinking of revenue at all times, we're thinking about our property owners. They're our suppliers as per se, because they're providing us inventory of properties as such. So I would say that would be the one metric that matters. And throughout the entire company, everything that we do, it all has to relate back to revenue, but it also... there is also a limitation, because it's not just purely all about revenue and taking maximum and reducing quality, because then it's a vicious cycle that will go down. So it's about keeping revenue up. And that's where the only way you can do that is by providing a good service, a good solution to customers. And once the customers are happy, then we're happy as a company because we're getting higher revenue. Our owners are happy subsequently because they're getting a higher revenue. So it is a whole line that we need to go upon. And it all comes back down to revenue.
Actually, I'm really glad that Sandeep explained it that way, because when I listen back to the podcast on the one metric that matters that we talked to Mike about, and I said that, you know, for all businesses, if they're not sure what it is, to start with revenue.
Yeah.
But I think the last thing that Sandeep mentioned, which is how do you get that higher revenue, is very important. So in a sense, what we should be looking at is, if revenue is your one metric that matters, it's not just about ensuring that you get that so-called hockey stick month on month every time growing. But it's where this revenue is coming from. So, you know, with Sandeep, is it customer acquisition, say, for example? Is all of his revenue or the highest percentage of his revenue coming from new customers? Or is it coming from repeat customers? Is it coming from customers that are more from the business travel? Or is it coming from more tourists? So whichever your activities are, to understand where your revenue sources are then helps you plan how you're going to do your marketing. So that's what we actually mean by revenue being the one metric that matters. But with every single business, you have to see every activity that you do driving the revenue. So don't do a marketing activity unless you know why and how it's going to drive your revenue. Don't get into customer service and go all out, you know, to hire the best staff if actually that's not what matters to customers. What they're looking for basically is cheap and nasty. So it really depends, right? Every single business will have different drivers that drive towards the revenue.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. For one thing is, if you're getting a repeat customer, the cost of acquiring the repeat customer is so much lower. So if you just make them happy, they come back to you, your revenue goes up just by that simple thing.
All right. Sandeep, Subhome has been around for 3 years. 2 years without a website, like you just mentioned.
Yeah, the first 2 years we didn't have a website, yes.
Yes, and just last year, Tune Group and ECM Libra via joint venture vehicle Tune Plato Ventures acquired a 50% stake in Subhome.
Yes.
Talk to us about that partnership and, you know, the kind of opportunities you saw working with the Tune Plato group, as well as, you know, what it's done for you.
Well, I mean, we can talk about all the... A lot of people talk about hype of being acquired and all these, you know, being part of bigger organizations and stuff. I would like to focus more on the results of it. So since then till today, we have been able to come back to the one metric that matters, revenue. Revenue, our monthly revenue has tripled. So our systems, we go back into technology. When I first started the Profizio training program, which was even before that, I didn't even have a website. Today, I have websites. I have entire systems whereby each site is totally automated and run, and each connection to the, like the Agoda, the booking.com and everything, all that connections and all those sales is entirely automated. So we've gone a lot of digitization. These systems have all come in. So this, when someone books, okay, instantly that revenue is recognized in my accounting system. So that's that entire systems and technologies that have been already given to us. Okay, we've opened up that information. So revenue's gone up, technology's gone up, highly skilled people have been added to our teams. The knowledge levels that we have access to is fantastic. I thought I knew what I was doing. Well, I actually didn't. I was a property investor just coming in and trying to build hotels. But now I have access to real hoteliers and real people in the industry that we've been able to recruit and get into this organization. So we now know what we are really doing and how to drive it. When we first started, I told you we were on Airbnb. It was very forgiving. Then we went into the other platforms. Now we are not entirely online only, because online is a very competitive space. We've got corporate sales. We've got group tours. Like one of our sites gets a minimum of one tour group every single day. So a lot of these initiatives are being added on to all our different sites. So that I would say, if anything else, in acquisition or partnership with larger organizations, it's what can the company or the business get in return. And in the last few months, I mean, we launched it only in September, but it's actually almost a year already since the paperwork was done. And so since that year, it's a lot that has really happened to us. And we're really excited. I mean, we're always trying to catch up every single day, because there's a lot of information that's being channeled down to us that we need to do it. And in fact, this comes back down to one more thing that you, Renu, was talking about, suppliers earlier. So right now we have one of our, we have great suppliers who are also our supporters, but one of our suppliers, which is Tune Protect. So they're not only insuring all our properties and covering all our landlords in case just anything bad happens, but they're also out there marketing us. Okay, so sometimes your suppliers will be your biggest
greatest
champion.
Ally.
Yeah, and so you really got to build those relationships with your suppliers. My insurance guy is going out there and marketing me. Can you imagine, okay, how much support you can get from any other person? So there's always potential in any company, I would say. Always look at wherever the avenues are. You got to be creative. Don't buy paper all the time, you know. Look at your insurance guy. Instead of him selling you something, he could be selling you.
I just want to jump in with something else that sort of triggered my mind when Sandeep was talking. So before or prior to the acquisition, it may seem that, you know, Sandeep makes it sound really easy and, you know, how it happened. But that process itself takes a long time. Yeah. But before you even are interesting to a larger group to actually acquire you, you really do have to show that, you know the market, you understand your business, and that you are growing. And the one thing that we saw throughout the program, initially, if I go back and I look at, you know, some of the reports that were first coming out, and a lot of times the coaches were saying, they know the industry for sure, you know, but they're not using insights. In a sense, they're not using data. Mm. They did not understand where the customers were coming from. And I think a lot of the time, this, you go back to customers, right? You really need to understand those customers. So what we were talking about just now in terms of who is your customer, I think with every aspect of the business, whoever is the customer or the stakeholder, you need to understand what drives them. For Subhome to be interesting enough for an acquisition, they would need to show not just that they knew the business, but they knew how to grow the business post-acquisition. So apart from what I saw in terms of, you know, all of the data and the insights that they started analyzing, was also the processes of how they were acquiring properties. Every single time he came in for coaching, you know, the numbers were going up. Oh, we got another new property. And when you say another new property, it's not like one room. It's like a whole condo of 10, 15, 20 rooms. And the next time they came in, which is like 6 weeks later, they'd already outfitted the whole thing ready to go launch, you know. And that takes a lot of operational efficiencies. So when someone looks at a company that's able to turn around that quickly, those are the sort of things that they look at before they want to partner with you, let alone acquire you.
All right. We're about to wrap up, but just before we go, a quick word. Coming back to our key takeaway from Subhome's journey, what would you remind entrepreneurs and business owners out there when navigating double-sided platforms? Words of advice, quick one. Sandeep, we'll start with you.
Well, it's two times the work. That's the simple thing. If you're an entrepreneur and you're coming into this thing, it's really two times the work because you got to maintain two different types of guests, I mean, two different types of clients, because they have two different needs and two different wants. So it's pretty much doing two times the normal work that you would do in any business.
For me, just to add to that, because it's two different types of customers and two different wants and needs, you need to actually have separate teams looking at each side so that you have a team that completely understands what, for example, with Sandeep, what the landlords need and what they want and how am I going to acquire them. So that then feeds into how quickly am I acquiring properties and how quickly am I converting these landlords into investing with us. On the other hand, you have the teams that are going out and acquiring customers. So for them, it's all about who are these customers? How much are they paying? What should their pricing be? So it's very different things that they're going to be focusing on. And you cannot have the same person changing hats all the time.
All right. Renu, Sandeep, thanks for taking the time to speak with us and for sharing your entrepreneurship story and business lessons with us. I've been speaking with Sandeep Grewal from Subhome and Renu Kasena from Proficio. For more info on Subhome, go visit the Malaysian home sharing platform at subhome.my. And also, all you need to know about Proficio's Coach and Grow program is also available online. Just visit proficio.com. And if you miss any part of this show, the Failing Forward podcast can be found on the BFM website, BFM.my, and the BFM mobile app. We're also on Spotify if that's the way you enjoy consuming your podcasts. And till next month, on behalf of Renuka Sena and Sandeep Grewal, my name is Audrey Raj. Thank you for listening to Failing Forward on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to BFM.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.